A mother went in to wake up her son for morning worship services. And he said, "Mom, I don't want to go to church today. I don't want to go." And he whined and whined. "Why do I have to go to church?" She said, "Well, son, you need to go because you're the preacher." I don't think that that guy believed in the importance of preaching. That's the title of our sermon today, The Importance of Biblical Preaching. To preach means to proclaim or herald. To preach the word means to proclaim or herald the word. Let me read for you about the importance of biblical preaching. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. I memorized this verse long ago. "I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Jesus Christ, who is the judge of the living and the dead, and by his appearance and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For time will come when men will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires and will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths." 2 Timothy has lots of good advice for pastors. We'll see several of the things that are said today. Paul was in prison, awaiting execution, about to be martyred, when he wrote this book, and he was giving his last instructions to his disciple Timothy, who at this time was pastor at the church of Ephesus. So he's talking to Timothy about being a preacher. Preach the word in season and out. I want to discuss with you today, why is biblical preaching so important? Why is it so important that you sit under biblical preaching? The first thing I'd like to say, and you have notes in the bulletin if you want to take further notes, biblical preaching is important because there's so little of it. I don't know if you're aware of this, but 80% of the ministers in the United States do not believe the Bible is the Word of God. 80%. There was a time in my life when I thought all preachers believed the Word of God. I assumed that they wouldn't be up there preaching if they didn't believe the Word of God. I thought all of them believed the Word of God. That was before I became a Christian. Then I became a Christian and I still believed it. But then I began to see what was really going on. I took a trip with my fiance at the time, Dia, and her family to visit their family in Conway, Arkansas. And we went to a church. It was a liberal Presbyterian church. It was PCUSA church. And they had a guest preacher who had been preaching for 40 years. And he read the verse that Leon read you today. All scriptures inspired by God and profitable for doctrine. And his title of his sermon was, "We Have This Book." And what he said was, "We have this book, but it's really not the Word of God. So what do we do with it?" That's kind of what the sermon was all about. And the more he preached, the madder I got. Here, I'm a new Christian, and I'm expecting to hear the Word of God. I go to the church, and the guy is telling me that the Word of God is not the Word of God. And so in my youthful exuberance and probably stupidity, I accosted him after the service. And I wasn't very nice to him. I said, "You know, you're going to have to stand before God and be judged for what you just said." I said, "You call yourself a minister. You're not a minister of the Word of God." I don't regret it, even though it probably wasn't wise to do at the time. Pastors don't reject the Bible because it contradicts itself, but because it contradicts them. It contradicts their beliefs and their lifestyles. So many ministers, biblical preaching is important because there's so little of it, because so many ministers really don't believe the Word of God. And then it's also important because so many ministers are doing what it says in 2 Corinthians 2:17. For we are not like many peddling the word of God. Religion can be a very profitable enterprise. We know that many men have built giant homes and had made millions of dollars off of preaching on TV and other places. Money can be a big motivation. And there are people who peddle the word of God. They get up and say what they think people want to hear, so they'll give them money. I think the health, wealth, and prosperity doctrine is one of those things that they use. So some peddle the word of God. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, it says, in the last days, difficult times will come. For men, and they're talking about preachers here, will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Boy, pretty bad preachers, aren't they? Holding a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these. My friends, my first lesson to you today is avoid such men as these. If you go to a church and he is not preaching the word of God, and because you have studied yourself and you know you're like a Berean, you know what the word of God is, and he's not preaching the word of God, you need to confront him and then you need to run. It's your responsibility to judge the preaching you hear. I'm amazed at how many people sit under false preaching and they don't even know it. They're not smart enough, they haven't studied the word of God enough to know that what they're being told is false. So it is your responsibility to sit under biblical preaching. If you don't do it, it's because you have not judged correctly. And then biblical preaching is important because there's so little of it, because so many people don't want biblical preaching. Notice what it says in our verse. It says, for a time will come when men will not endure sound doctrine. But wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires, will turn away their ears from the truth, and will turn aside to myths. There are many people who really don't want biblical preaching. They would rather have flowery platitudes. When I was in seminary, I had a professor who taught preaching. And he was one of these guys that quoted like five poems a sermon, and he would say, boy, he really can preach, can he? But what did he say? I didn't get it. You know, he was really just giving a bunch of flowery platitudes. There are people who want that. There are people who want a legalist who will teach works salvation, because works is more pleasing to the human mind. They will not endure sound doctrine. When you start talking about grace and being saved by grace and not by works, and that you can't earn your place in heaven, then they rebel. There are people that do not want to be challenged with the truth. They don't want to have their toes stepped on. They do not want specific application to their lives. They just want to check their attendance box and think they're okay with God, but they really don't want to change. There are people who want more culturally pleasing preaching. Someone said biblical preaching is swimming upstream in a downstream world. If you preach the word, you are going to go against the culture. So people seek preachers in accordance with their own desires. They turn away from the truth to miss. For all these reasons, biblical preaching is very important. If there's so little of it, we need to make sure that we're not sitting under false teaching. Number two, biblical preaching is important because we cannot have a true church without it, no matter what else we're doing. There are lots of things that we need to be doing in the church. We need to have an evangelism program. We need to have an assimilation program. We need to have a missions program. We need to have a discipleship program. We need to have a program to help people do ministries in the church. We need lots of things in the church. But if you do not have biblical preaching, you do not have a biblical church. I like to say preaching is not all you need, but it's like the skeleton of the body of Christ. It's the skeleton. Can you have a body without the skeleton? You must have the skeleton, but on that skeleton we put the muscles of these other things we do. So true Christians want to have a biblical church. You can't have it without biblical preaching. And then if you have the biblical preaching, you can build on that skeleton all these other things that your church needs to be a biblical church. Biblical preaching is important, number three, because we are dealing with the Word of God, not some human book. The Bible is not a human book. Look what it says in that we had read to us already. Chapter 3. All scriptures inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. All scripture, all the Bible, beginning to end, is God-breathed. It's inspired by God. And it's profitable for teaching. It tells us what path to get on. For reproof, tells us when we get off the path. For correction in righteousness, it tells us how to get back on the path. And for training in righteousness, it tells us how to stay on the path. All Christians need biblical preaching because it tells you how to stay on the path, when you get off the path, how to get back on the path, and how to stay on the path once you've gotten back on. And it helps us to be equipped for every good work. The Bible is not a human book. No matter how many times you read it, you can read the same passage over and over and you'll get something out of it, something new out of it every time, because it is infinite truth. It is the Word of God. I wouldn't go across the street to hear somebody's opinion. I wouldn't expect you to. If I'm giving you my opinions, I wouldn't expect you to come. I wouldn't expect you to go across the street to hear my opinions. So we must preach the Word. We must sit under the preaching of the Word. We must sit under someone who will not take away or add to the Word. They preach the Word no more and no less. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the Word of God will stand forever. Number four, biblical preaching is important because God is watching. Look at verse 1. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Jesus Christ. We preach the Word, it is a command. It's a solemn charge, but God is the audience. Yes, people hear you preach, but I like to think that I'm preaching before an audience of one. There's only one person I have to please. I cannot try to please men. I kind of think of it as kind of an incense in the nostrils of God. If he likes what he smells, then I'm grateful. We're preaching from before an audience of one. James 3:1 says, "Let not many of you be teachers, brethren, knowing that as such you will incur a stricter judgment." That's kind of a scary thought. If you are a preacher, if you are a teacher, you're going to be judged more harshly than the average person. Why? Because if you teach them false things, you are accountable for what you've taught them. You're accountable for misleading them. The teacher is accountable for all the people he has misled. I can't imagine standing before the judgment and being a false teacher. Verse 1 says, "Jesus Christ, God and Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead." It will not be pleasant. Those who are teachers incur a stricter judgment. Number 5, biblical preaching is important because it is God's chosen method of disseminating His Word. And we all need to hear what God has to say. Of course, this does not mean or displace the other things that you may do to disseminate God's Word to yourself. I mean, reading the Word is important, memorizing the Word, studying the Word, being in Bible studies, meditating on the Word, all those things are important, but biblical preaching is one of the ways that God disseminates His Word. It is probably the most important way. because it is the skeleton of the body. The Bible says, how can you believe unless you hear, and how can you hear without a preacher? I don't know why God chose to do it the way he did. The Bible says he put his treasure in earthen vessels. What does he mean? He put this treasure of the word of God in the hands of weak men. Earthen vessels. As human beings, we make mistakes. And I've told you many times, if I make a mistake, and I've had this happen since I've been here, if I make a mistake, I haven't made many, but I made a couple, and when I made a mistake, somebody came and told me, and that's the way it should be. You should hold your pastor accountable to tell you the truth. If he tells you something that's false, you need to have a line of people to talk to him after the service. Because God has put his treasure in earthen vessels. Another place God calls preaching the foolishness of preaching. It's foolish because we have these weak human beings doing it. And so many do it incorrectly. But yet it is his primary way of disseminating his word. So those of us who believe the word must do it with diligence and care. In order to do it properly, training is necessary. 2 Timothy 2:2 says, the things you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. We need to train people to preach and teach the word. Now, it's important that you remember that preaching is not just the preview of the pastor. Anytime you proclaim the word, you are preaching. Anytime you as a Christian proclaim the word to another person, witness to them or whatever, you are preaching. In fact, it says in the book of Acts, when they were dispersed because of the persecution, they all went out preaching the word. Everybody in the church went out preaching the word. So preaching is not just a preview of the pastor. Although the Bible tells us that we should give double honor to those whose office requires them to labor in the preaching of the word. There are some who are called and have an office to labor in the preaching of the word on your behalf. But yet you may preach the word as well. So we need to study, all of us need to study to show ourselves approved, a workman that need not be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. Because when you're talking to people about God, you are preaching to them if you're proclaiming his word. Number six, biblical preaching is important because it is powerful and effective. The Bible says, my word shall not return void, but it will accomplish all I have planned. Nothing can change people like the word of God. I've known people who just started reading. I've always said, if I can get a person to read the book of John, then I'm probably going to get him as a Christian. Because the Bible is powerful. It changes people. Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation. As you read the word, you will be powerfully changed. This is the reason that the Bible is the best-selling book every year. People know that it is special. Number seven. Biblical preaching must be done in a certain way. The Bible instructs us that biblical preaching must be done in a certain way. And it tells us here what to do. First of all, it says, preach the word in season and out. Be ready to preach the word in season and out. That means we want to preach the word in good times, bad times, all the times, the same way. We want to preach it the way it is stated. We want to preach the word in season and out, in good times and bad times. In other words, we want to be consistently faithful in good times or bad times. And you, as the hearers of the word, and sometimes the tellers of the word to others, you need to remember there's a cumulative effect to the word. Why does God say, forsake not assembling yourselves together as the habit of some? Well, he wants you there to worship him. He knows you need to be with other believers. But one reason is he knows that in order for you to grow in Christ, you need the cumulative effect of the word. In other words, you hear it week after week, and it has an impact upon you. That's the reason you should go to church unless you're providentially hindered. Providentially hindered means you have some legitimate reason why you cannot come. You're not like the guy in the joke that says, oh, I don't want a gap date. He says, another thing we must do, we must preach the word in season and out. We must reprove, rebuke, and exhort with great patience and instruction. Reprove means, I say to you, you're doing the wrong thing. Rebuke means, quit it. And exhortation says, come on, you can do this. You can do it. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. We all need all three of those things. So preaching really needs to be, in order to be biblical preaching, clear and plain. Not some flowery drivel. It needs to be clear and plain, direct and simple. It's kind of like the difference between two knights. One knight rides up on his horse, and he pulls out his gleaming sword, and he swings it around, and he's really, you know, he's flashing it around, but he does nothing. And then another guy rides up on his horse, and he pulls his sword, and he plunges into battle, and he uses his sword to cut people. The Bible says the word of God is living and active and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing as far as division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. The word of God is a two-edged sword. It cuts and it heals. It will cut away that which is bad in our lives, and it will heal it also. It's a two-edged sword. We don't need flashing swords. We need cutting swords. We need swords. When the word of God is preached, it needs to affect you. It needs to affect even the thoughts and intentions of your heart. So the biblical preacher preaches the word plain and simply. He does it, he tells you what it says, he tells you what it means, and tells you how it applies. Here's another one of my pet peeves. So many preachers give application without giving the meaning. They think they know what it means, but they haven't really studied it, and so they try to apply something that they don't even know what it means. So that means they misteach the word. So it requires patience, loving, passionate preaching. Never compromise. Preachers are always tempted to pull their punches. I can't tell you the number of times in the 45 years I've ministered that I've had somebody come to me and say, you're being too hard. You don't need to do that. Pull your punches, they say. People are not going to like it when you say that. They don't like it when you say that. Well, I'm sorry if they don't like it, because I can't pull my punches. I cannot compromise what the Bible says. The preaching of the word should be directed to the mind. It should make you think, but it also should be directed to the heart and the conscience. The biblical preacher, the Bible tells us, should preach the whole counsel of God. Paul said, I never refrain from preaching the whole counsel of God. That means preach the whole Bible, not just certain parts. There's some preachers only preach about certain things. They don't preach the whole Bible. Over time, through the cumulative effect, you should hear about everything the Bible has to say. So we preach what God has said, no more and no less. I don't know if you noticed, but if I give you my opinion about something, if I'm not sure that the Bible says that it's my opinion, I will say, this is my opinion. I only tell you what I think God says. No more and no less. So the biblical preacher should love people enough to look them in the eyes and tell them the truth. And they should never fear the faces of men. And here's the final point. In order for preaching to be biblical, it must be discriminating. I don't mean discriminating in a negative sense, but in the sense that we draw a line between those who are saved and unsaved. So much preaching has all these gray areas. They say, oh, you can have Jesus as Savior but not have him as Lord. That's false. That's a gray area. So people can kind of get in there and say, oh, I have Jesus as Savior, but I don't have him as Lord. They've created a gray area. It's not a clear line between who's a Christian and who's not a Christian. Another one will say, well, he's been backsliding for 20 years. That's okay. He's still a Christian. You have this gray area where you can be backslidden, but yet be a Christian and be backslidden for 20 years. We've talked about this. You backslide, but only for a short time if you're a true Christian. Or he might say, he's prayed to receive Christ. He's a Christian forever, no matter how he lives. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says if you are a Christian truly, you will persevere. You will grow. You will show by your life that you're truly saved and born again. So creating these gray areas is what lots of preachers like to do so they won't get in trouble with all the people who really aren't Christians in their church but sit there every Sunday. So we need to be discriminated. We need to draw a clear line between those who are saved and those who are not. You should not be able to go to a biblical church and be able to sit there as a non-Christian Sunday after Sunday. You should become increasingly uncomfortable. So biblical preaching always calls people to be truly saved, not give them false assurance. So let me ask you a question in conclusion. Do you love biblical preaching? Do you love to hear biblical preaching? If you don't love it, that may be an indicator of a spiritual condition you have. If you realize that you do not love it and don't really understand it, you're probably not saved. Every true believer that I've ever met loves biblical preaching. They want it. They like to have their toes stepped on. They want their conscience pricked. They want their heart penetrated. They want to hear what God has to say. Every true believer I've ever met loves biblical preaching. If you don't love it, you're probably not a Christian. So, I invite you to embrace Christ today and accept Him as your Savior. And start to love it. Believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins. And trust in Him alone. If you're unsure about your position in Christ because of what I said, read the Gospel of John, as I said. Talk to me, and we'll discuss it. My greatest desire is for everybody who sits before me to be Christians. William Baxter stated the importance of biblical preaching this way. He said, "Preach as though you will never preach again, as a dying man to dying men." That's what I try to do. Preach every time as though I will never preach again. You know, at my age, I may not. I may not get another try. Preach as though you'll never preach again, as a dying man to dying men. I want to conclude just by saying this. I love you all. I appreciate you. This last year has been a delight to me. I know my time is running short. I'm still going to be around. I'm still going to be a consultant for the church. But my last Sunday will be January, the first Sunday in January, and then you will have your new pastor each Sunday. But I want to express to you how much I love you. I know all of you love the preaching of the Word. I know you love to be convicted by the Word. I know you don't mind having your toes stepped on. You actually want it. I know you want your conscience pricked and your heart touched. I know you want God to speak to you. And you want to know His will. It's been my privilege and delight to be your preacher for this last year, and I really love you. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, it is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. I pray, Lord, that we would want always to hear from you. Lord, we thank you that through the foolishness of preaching, you get your word out. Lord, thank you for the privilege you've given me to preach the word all these years. No higher privilege can a man have than to be a preacher of the word. We thank you for this time together as we take communion now, Lord. I pray, Lord, that we would be grateful for all that Christ has done for us. Not only in saving us, but giving us a manual for living in your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.